What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
How you feeling there, Greg?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, that's all we can do. 2020 continues to pound us into nothing. Yeah,
like, keeps beating the shit out of everyone.
Exactly.
No, just, that was a long sigh. Sorry.
A broken down sigh. Because it is, of course, 6 months into the worst year on record. Over there, wait, hold on.
Already? Hey, oh, my God.
He's above
we're on
me,
month six.
Right above me, man. In the center. He is the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head trotting. Hold on real quick. Have you thought any more about redoing this intro? Remember last week we talked about this and you got very defensive about
it. I thought about it for about a second. I said, I don't give a shit.
All right, cool. The globe trotting, head shot, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
How's it going, Greg? How are we doing?
I'm hanging in
there. I was looking at you down there. Did you see me? Did you see me down there?
Oh, no, I didn't. I got distracted by Nick wheeling himself out of the room.
He was getting his fart out.
Just will not white balance if you want. Look at this. Look at this. This is what I'm so I'm setting the camera temperature. I'm setting it to 4,800, and this is what I get. I'm
telling you, whenever I have colored lights, I look like I have jaundice, man.
So bad, this fucking camera. Like, I'm going all blue. Fuck it.
There you go. It's your favorite color. Oh, yeah. We always call you you're the blue boy, Nick Scarpino.
It was the warmest color with Nick Scarpino.
Exactly. Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Wait, real quick. He said blue is the warmest color when he could have said something that's true. Blue is the coolest color.
Blue is the hottest color.
Oh, he's skipping now.
Nick, if I didn't know that, you would think Nick is in a horror movie. Like, we're getting the feed, and he's like it's all framing, and he's like rolling back, and he's going to roll that door up, and there's a skeleton standing there. Grabs him.
I'm just trying to get my camera to look normal.
Oh, no, whatever you've done now, it's super laggy. Now you're like all framing and way behind. Like, God, you should have just let it roll. Oh, God, what just happened now?
That's better.
That I suggested.
Did we switch servers? That's way better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to Central.
And rounding out the Pentet.
An awful podcast.
The OKB's busing Eddie Oye
Junior.
Have y'all heard about COVID-19? It's like getting real bad.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's getting bad out there.
19,000 new cases.
In a week.
Yeah. They're saying that, like, over the last couple of days, it's just, you know, it's all riling up again because of all the protests, everyone talking together about and stuff. It's crazy, man.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah, but there's also, it's because a lot of states are starting to ease up the restrictions, and we're going to see a lot of, it's just going to happen. The second everyone starts coming back, the idea was that we would have enough infrastructure in place that and hopefully the summer would flatten it out even further. But I just think it's going to be, no matter what, we're all headed toward at least another one of these shelter in places at some point this year. So don't do what I was going to do, which was take this Yeti mic. And actually, the Yeti mic's good. Take that Logitech Brio and just smash it on the fucking ground like Office Space. In a month when we all come back, you're going to have to put that bad boy in the closet because it's going to have to come back out. Okay, Andy?
I'm going back to my other fucking...
But why, one. Andy? It renders your skin tone so well. It gets the natural jaundiceness of your skin to really come out. Maybe you just haven't seen the sun in a while, and maybe that's what you look like.
No, man, I go out for walks every day.
But you just walk to the corner store and get like snackums.
No. I walk up to this hill that like Tim saw that me like this photo I posted of where I was, and Tim was like, "Oh wow, you really walked." And I was like, "Yeah, man,
it's pretty far from where it is."
I was really hoping you were going to say Tim was just like driving by and saw you. Yeah. just saw Andy walking and like followed you from a few blocks behind for a while.
No. It's hot in my room, man.
It's the same hair. It's ridiculous.
I'm just saying, Greg, I know that it would be a, there it is, Andy.
Andy's getting the ring for the intro.
I know it would be a commitment, but you and I, he's got two big curtains back there. We could hide behind him whenever we want. Wait for him to go to bed. Wait till he starts to snore a little. And then just slowly climb into the bed with him and start breathing hot air onto him.
Hot air on me.
Here's what I'm going to say, though. That's one way to do it, and I'm not against it. But here's the one way I want to go with it. Not enough spaghetti sauce pranks are happening these days. And there's so much that can be done with spaghetti sauce.
You know, blessing. They want to prank me. That's what.
Yeah, I'm not listening to the podcast in a while. Is spaghetti sauce like a thing? Like a running thing?
No, we're introducing it this week right now. All right. You're live on the spaghetti sauce podcast on what we could do with it. Because it would be funny, of course, to get in there and breathe on him. But think if he just keeps waking up in a bundle of spaghetti sauce. He doesn't know what's happening, right?
No, he'll know exactly what's happening.
And then when he goes on one of these fucking walks he loves to do, he's out there on a walkabout trying to find himself, John Locke style, right? You know what we do? We get trash bags, varying sizes, Nick. We fill those with spaghetti sauce and then slowly start putting them in the room.
Okay.
The first day he comes back, there's a tiny garbage bag full of spaghetti sauce. Like, that's weird.
Now,
comes if back there's the next day, a bigger one, slightly bigger. Yeah, Nick Scarpino.
If there's a shortage on spaghetti sauce, can we use oatmeal? Because I saw an episode of That 70s Show where they accidentally dumped a pot of oatmeal on Red's head, and boy, was he steamed.
And to be clear, like you saw an episode, that wasn't like 10 years ago you saw an episode where they did that. That was like the last couple days.
Whatever has happened in the last week is the thing that Nick will talk about the most.
To be fair, That 70s Show is a great show.
I mean, sure, blessed, but like, you know, if Nick is referencing Shawshank Redemption, it's because he watched it last night.
Okay, first off, this coming from the three people that cannot stop referencing episodes of The Office from like 10 years ago. Don't even get me started.
Great show.
Have you watched Space Force yet? Has anyone started watching Space Force yet?
Dude, I watched episode one. It's all right.
Is it trash?
I mean, no, it's not trash. It's like very fine.
I watched the whole thing. I really enjoyed it.
I've heard from several people that it's like, It kind of didn't reach its expectations, you know, but it was still like a 7.5 out of 10.
Well, people are expecting the second coming of The Office, right?
It's like nothing like it, though, which is the thing. Like, as somebody who's watched very few episodes of The Office, watching Space Force, I'm like, this has nothing in common with The Office aside from Steve Carell.
Yeah.
And the showrunners or whatever. But I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a workplace style comedy like Parks and Rec or like The Office, where they have the one-on-one interviews and they're talking to the camera every once in a while. I thought it was going to be like, here's a documentary. We're a documentary crew filming the Space Force order, but it's just a straight up like any other sitcom without
that. That would have been smarter. Yeah, you're right. Like from the preview that I've seen, it looks like a straightforward, just like single camera sitcom.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I mean, Steve Carell's hair is great. He's got a great hairline, so.
I mean, it's gone fake, gray. But good for him.
Is it fake?
I mean, yeah, he lost his hair. He was losing his hair like crazy in season one of The Office.
He's like, you wouldn't even recognize him.
Basically. He's a chud.
No, Greg, no, that's not the proper use of that term.
Isn't it?
Google chud, the movie chud, and look at the poster for it.
That sounds like a product that they're selling for a thermos.
Real Google quick. Chud. What wasn't it that they put a bunch of product in the hair? That's why it looks so thin in the first season.
I thought we were talking about Chud. I don't remember Chud's hair.
He was just losing. No, Steve Carell was just losing his hair.
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. That's the Chud here. They're not staying down there anymore. Is the tagline.
Well, that's a dumb tagline.
They're gross looking. There's another tagline here that says we can't hold them back anymore.
That's better.
Greg, look up Chud 2.
Dad from Home Alone is in Chud.
Look up Chud 2.
Is that Panic in Manhattan?
No, Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Chud 2, Bud the Chud. Yeah, there he is. All right. Their first mistake was stealing a corpse.
Why does that sound like something Greg would do? My first mistake was stealing a corpse.
Their first mistake was stealing a corpse. Their second was waking him up.
Tim, can the title of this episode be Kind of Funny Podcast? Our first mistake was stealing a corpse.
No. Oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table, each coming to talk about whatever it is that's going on in their lives. If you want to bullshit with us, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. You, of course, can submit your topics for the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can do the exclusive post-show that is only available on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can get each and every episode on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe each and every week. Different kind of episode, I would assume, this week. Housekeeping for you first, I guess. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, Cameron Reagan, Kieran O'Donnell, Yeah, I got that. Steve Powers, Julian. Their first mistake was stealing a corpse. Steve Powers, Julian, the gluten-free gamer. How did you know that? Why is Chud 2 on your mind?
Me?
Yeah.
Let's Google it. And then I saw the image. I didn't believe the Laney Chud was real.
Lee Palera, Dr. Farmer Mike. Is that a new one for anybody else?
That's a new one for me. Never heard that one.
It's just we have the new
both a doctor and a farmer.
Well, no. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I don't mean is it. I know that it's a new name for the Kind of Funny podcast. I mean, like, has he been supporting the morning shows and I didn't see him?
No,
because Dr. Farmer Mike sounds like.
But here we go. Here what it is now. Here's what it is now. Dr. Farmer Mike, attorney at law. That's what it is now. He's covering everything. Covering everything.
And then Connor Nolan is back. Remember Connor Nolan, everybody from the earlier show?
Kono.
Yeah, no, Connor Nolan. Remember. Can't go to school with,
damn
remember?
You, Greg.
Greg. Now we're just calling him that.
The joke made no sense the first time.
It makes sense that I went to school with a kid named Connor Dow, and Connor Nolan's name reminds me of that. So now Connor Nolan's nickname is Connor Dow.
Okay.
Let's see. Does that not make sense to you?
Not at all. No.
All right. And that's the show. Now we're into the thing. God, this fucking year, am I right?
Yeah, it's kicking it. It's kicking us up in the ass, man.
Shit. I can't believe it gets worse every day somehow. And we thought the pandemic would be enough, but now we're in a civil war.
I mean, getting ahead of it here, the headline in this video is Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives Matter. And with everything that's going on right now, it's like we need to talk about this and continue to talk about this. I feel like we've always tried to, you know, put our money where our mouth is and, you know, stand up for what's right. But it's more important than ever now. And it's truly inspiring to see how many people are unified with all of this and you know, trying their best, trying at all. I think we're so far from anything being actually solved, but it's definitely steps in the right direction. And, you know, it's a scary time, man. I can't even imagine how scary it is for other people that are not like me. But
well, the crazy thing is, like, the protests seem like events that have happened like this in the past, like 6 years, seem to sort of spike a protest and then it comes down and it doesn't feel like anything's happening. This feels different. This feels like everyone's the collective energy of the anger and the fear of the pandemic going into this has made this like a super, like, the energy is insane right now. And it has unleashed protests across the entire country, which is
the world.
Pretty amazing to see. Yeah. Well, I guess they are worldwide. I just think in terms of America, just because that's obviously the things that I'm seeing. Like, you know, I see my friends go out to the protests in Oakland and get tear gassed. And it's like, fucking, hey, this is a crazy time we're living through right now. 2020 is going to go down as one of those years that hopefully a lot of fingers crossed. You always see these things. You hope that a lot of positive stuff comes out of this, or at least some positive change comes out of this. Not the least of which is like, hey, maybe our response to just taking the pandemic, for instance, maybe our responses to future pandemics can be dictated by how much we've royally fucked this one up. And maybe we can learn something from that and maybe not disassociate ourselves from the World Health Organization like our president wants us to. And, you know, and then as far as like the Black Lives Matter movement is concerned, I mean, I think this proves that there is so much far, like, distance to go in this still. And people are just at their fucking wit's end, and rightfully so. Like, seeing protests go for a week across the entire nation is, it on some level, it's terrifying. But on some level, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, that's what we should do. That's what people should be doing right now, because this is ridiculous. It's like ridiculous that this guy, it took them so long to arrest him. It took them so long to figure out. Now they're still going back and forth as to whether or not they should bring charges against the other three cops. And I'm like, that shouldn't even be a question. Like, why is any of this a question? But
so, of course, if you somehow missed it, of course, May 25th, George Floyd was murdered in a suburb of Minneapolis, right? They call it a community, Powderhorn community. I'm not familiar enough with the Minneapolis breakdown there. And yeah, they immediately fired the four cops involved, finally arrested Derek Chauvin, right? And now we're waiting on that. But it took so long that, yeah, everything's spiraled out of control in terms of getting this ramped up and setting off this powder keg that I think is... it has been brewing for so long, but I think has been influenced so much by this pandemic that we're all locked up. You're all there. Obviously, is fueled by years and years. I mean, hundreds of years of this shit happening, let alone the fact, you know, I whenever we talk about this and people bring up, you know, like Kinda Funny is not a Kinda Funny is afraid to take a stand, or Kinda Funny doesn't talk about serious issues or this issue even, I always go back, right? Like, I had to look it up, but you know, I remember the Ferguson episode of the Game Over Greggy show, August 25th, 2014. And I remember being so fired up and doing that and almost crying at one point, right? When we were talking about the fact that, or I was talking about, I should say, sorry, not to put it on you guys, making this point that this just keeps happening. And it's this cycle where it happens, then the next week something else happens and we forget about it. And then you get three or four new cycles away before something like this happens again. And it is another video of someone being murdered in the streets, right? A black man being murdered in the streets and nothing actually happening. And so that's what's, you know, as terrifying as it is to be alive right now, and every word, and I mean, as anxiety inducing as it is in every moment, I feel like every time you refresh Twitter or look at Instagram or anything, like, this is the first time I wonder if there is an actual change about to happen. Like, if we can actually do something here, because I do feel like, obviously, with a Ferguson, with Black Lives Matter, with all the movements and all the black men who have been killed by police officers, right? There's the outcry, there's the sharing of the video, there's the think pieces, and then we move on. It does feel like, and granted, we're in the middle of it right now. We're in the storm still, right? You know, a week removed. It still feels like this is a greater thing than before. Like, this is a bigger movement than before.
If it does, yeah, kind of remind me of like the Me Too movement where...
Where it's not going to, it's got a longer tail.
Yeah, where I think we finally started seeing some action or whatever. And I, you know, I try to be optimistic, and it's fucking hard to be, right? And I just, I don't know. It's just, it's tough to sort of, it's tough to look at social media and you always feel like you can do more. You always feel like, am I doing enough? At least I do. And I, you know, I just want to try to amplify, you know, black and black women and men voices out there that don't feel like they've really been listened to. And this is why all the anger is happening, because they haven't been listened to.
Right.
Yeah. For me, it's interesting because I think having a direct analog to the Me Too movement, I think one of the things that made that so important and have such a long tail was that people actually were held accountable and are now on trial, namely Harvey Weinstein being sort of the figurehead of the disgusting acts that people have perpetrated, specifically in Hollywood. Watching him go through trial and watching him disintegrate, I'm not saying like I don't drive any joy from that, because I don't drive any joy from any human being suffering at all. I don't care what they've done. But seeing him being held accountable and seeing a powerful Hollywood mogul like that actually go to jail, along with the likes of a guy like Bill Cosby, who was, you know, being accused of being a serial rapist, that I think says a lot more than anything that we could possibly say on Twitter or on Instagram. I think that specifically for this is why I'm so disappointed that there wasn't swift action with these cops. At least take them into custody and figure out if, like, and I hate to do that, but like, you see the video, right? As a district attorney, I know why they're like, we got to get this one right. There's no way we have to dot all our I's and cross all our T's on this, because this is a crazy issue. But like, at the same time, you see that and you know that people, like, anyone could look at that and be like, oh, this guy's got to at least get arrested, right? Maybe there's extenuating circumstances that we'll deal with later, but take his ass into custody because he just blatantly killed someone. And they don't do that for a week. Like, come on, guys. What's like, how do you not expect this stuff to happen? And the more these things happen, the bigger the protests are going to be, until the people that are in charge, the head of the police, the local government, the state government, finally realize that if you let shit slide like this, well, then it's going to start hitting the city where it hurts, which is the property values and their wallets. And like, yeah. I hate to keep bringing it back to that, but really that's what it boils down to. Is it like, unless people start getting hit so hard financially that they don't get reelected, or then I don't know if there's ever going to be change that's effective. But for right now, for sure, the pandemic and now this protest is, if you're in government right now, you're thinking, holy shit, how the hell do we make it so that neither of these things never happen again? Because this is like cataclysmic for everything.
Bless, where's your head been at? Because I made sure to watch that podcast during the, where you were on Khalif Adams' Spawn on Me podcast.
Yeah.
And I listened to maybe like 75% of that. And I just thought it was so, like, it's one of those things where you think you may know the experiences. You think you may know what black men and women go through every day, but you really don't unless you fucking listen, you know?
Yeah, it's been an interesting week to see everything unfold, especially on social media. I want to give a shout out to you guys because Kind of Funny Games Daily, I've been hosting every single day this week. And we've been having those conversations there. Shout out to Paris and Khalif. And I think Khalif especially, toward the beginning of that episode, kind of laid things out in a way that I think was well said and well heard. This week has been interesting for me as somebody who, for me, kind of seeing these protests happen and seeing the response and all these things has been weird. Like it's one of those things where I'm like, all right, this is a thing that's not a new thing as far as police brutality, as far as racism, as far as violence against Black people, as far as Black death. It's not necessarily been a new thing, and so to see the response now, you know, the analogy to the Me Too movement, I think, is interesting because I think the thing that was dope about the Me Too movement is the idea that was an eye opening for a lot of us. Like a lot of us, I think, just didn't realize the amount in which that was happening, as far as right. sexual abuse, as far as women being mistreated, as far as all these things. And for this right here, like as far as the death of George Floyd and violence towards Blacks and police brutality, the George Floyd thing for me wasn't like an eye opening thing. I think the George Floyd thing. Was a continuing of a thing that we've all kind of known has been an issue. Like, yeah. You know, Greg mentioned Ferguson. Ferguson was a thing that we're all like aware about. That's the thing that we all saw. Trayvon Martin was another one that we've all been aware of. Like, this has been an issue forever. And I mentioned this on Kind of Funny Games Daily this morning because we're recording this on Tuesday. That I remember the first instance of me seeing police brutality like portrayed in the media was back home. There was a kid, high school age, actually the same age as me, who was essentially murdered in his backyard. And I had to go back and like look up the article because I couldn't remember all the details of it. And going through it, it was just one of those things of like, yeah, this is like, it's like violence against Blacks from police has been essentially an everyday thing, like a very consistent thing that the George Floyd case just put on a camera. And that's the thing that's been happening more and more within the last 10 years, right?
Not even put it on a camera. Like we've had this with Eric Garner and like we've seen this before, but I think like maybe because there's no sports and there's nothing else happening in the world that now everybody's focus is finally sort of tuned in for some reason. Because we're all forced inside and forced to see this stuff that maybe now that's why more people are paying attention to it. It's possible. I don't know.
The thing over the last couple of weeks that actually got to me a bit more was seeing the Amy Cooper situation, which Amy Cooper was the lady a couple of weeks ago who was walking her dog in Central Park. And I believe she didn't like have a leash or she wasn't taking care of the dog properly. And so another dude, a Black dude, was asking her to, hey, like, can you put a leash on your dog? To which she was like, hey, like, stop harassing me. If you continue to harass me, I'm going to call the police and tell them that there's an African-American male who's harassing me. And he was
aggressive.
Yeah, who's being aggressive towards me. Yeah, and you know he keeps asking her like, hey, you know, just put a leash on your dog, and he starts recording, and she proceeds to call the police and describe him as like, yeah, there's an African American male who is harassing me right now in Central Park, and for me that was the thing over the last few weeks that had me go like, wow, like people are so aware of the racism and so aware of the system and so aware of all the things that are fucked up that white people are taking advantage of it. Yeah,
she knows that like, that term African-American male is going to trigger a certain response from police that, hey, there's a dude that's pissing me off. Wouldn't. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like and being in tune the last couple of weeks, right? Like George Floyd, of course, hurt my heart. Ahmaud Arbery also hurt my heart. Like there's been like a lot of cases within the last year and within the last 10 years, and within the last like within my whole life, actually, that have like hurt my heart in terms of seeing Black people die. But yeah, like seeing the ways in which people people are aware of it. People know what's going on. People know what's happening
and weaponize it.
Yeah. They take that and they weaponize it. That's been the thing that's been not the most fucked up because the fucked up thing is the death, but I don't know. It's granted kind of a new lens to everything going on. But yeah, as far as like the last week, my head's been kind of all over the place. I think I forget if it was Tim or if it was somebody else who said this here, but like I'm kind of happy to see people kind of unite and come together and kind of and actually want to fight against depression and fight against all the shit. But for me, it makes me wonder if this is the end, which I don't think it is. Like it makes me wonder like When is the end? Which that seems like it'll be far away.
I don't think it's the end. And I don't think it's the end because, you know, if you look at the Me Too movement, I don't think that ended, men behaving poorly against women or women being abused in Hollywood or in the workplace. It just went along. I think it helps progress that movement far, 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 way farther than I've seen it in my entire lifetime. But remember also, like, the Me Too movement is not something that, like, when you say eye-opening, everyone knows that women have been sexually harassed by guys. It's just, as a collective society, we've been allowed up until a couple of years ago to just see it and then go, okay, well, I'm not doing it, so I don't need to worry about it, right? And then the Me Too movement happens, and then it questions, then you suddenly, and every guy, hopefully, if you're you know, a decent human being, you start thinking to yourself, wait a minute, have I at some point said something or done something that made someone uncomfortable, even if it's unbeknownst to me? Do I need to be more aware of that? Do I need to view women differently now and view my own actions differently now? And for me personally, I absolutely did. Like, I looked at the stuff that I when how I used to talk in front of people when I was a dumb shit 20-year-old at IGN, and I think, wow, like, that would not fly right now. And it shouldn't fly right now, because you have to treat people with way more respect, or at least have respect for the people who are listening in the room around me when I say stupid shit in front of people, right? Yeah. And so I feel like this, you know, there's a difference between being eye-opening to the individual and having a collective eye-opening. And I feel like this is one of the first times I really feel like, okay, well, now we're seeing consequences. So now everyone's saying, oh shit, we can't push this anymore. We can't just go, I don't do that, so I don't have to worry about it. Now everyone has to worry about it, because everyone's standing up and making everyone worry about it. Which, by the way, again, I hate to remind everyone, is the most American fucking thing we possibly could do. So anyone who's saying these protesters are in the wrong, granted, I know there's areas of minutia where people are committing acts of violence to protest, or I don't stand by that, but I absolutely stand by their right to get out there and protest and march and make their voices heard. Because that is the most American thing we could possibly do. So when your president tells you shouldn't be doing that, he's wrong. Straight up.
Take American out of it. It's not even about that. It's about doing the right thing and standing up for what is right. And I think that with all of this, I think, to me, the most important thing here is to not get distracted. And we've done this topic so many times now, and I feel like we've gone in circles about, like, what can we do? I don't know what to do. It's like, we need to just keep doing this. We all need to keep doing this. We all need to do it together. We need to be loud about it. And I think that the most important thing is not being distracted. It's not allowing yourself to get bogged down by the gatekeeping that happens, where someone tells you that you're doing it wrong, or that you're not doing this enough, or that you should have been doing this earlier, or this whatever. Take all of that and take it in. Listen, and just make your next step based on the knowledge that you just learned. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. That's not the point. Like, if someone calls you a racist for something that you're trying to do, don't tell them, I'm not racist. Be not racist. Move forward and just be better with that. And I think that is something that so much of this right now is people getting bogged down in. It's like, this doesn't matter. People are dying. They're not just dying now. They've been dying forever, and they're going to continue to keep dying. This isn't going to end. It'll never end. The Me Too thing will never end. None of this is going to end. It needs to get better, though. And I think that we all need to continue to do what we're doing and not be distracted by the nonsense that doesn't matter, the name calling, the whatever it is. None of that shit fucking matters.
Yeah, I think I've kind of finally gotten to a point over this past week where it's just sort of, you know, the emotions have just bottled up for so long, to the point where I'm just like, if there are no yeah buts with any of this. There are no, yeah, that black guy got killed, but no, there's none of that. Like, if it's straight up, if you're not with us, you're against us. And I don't want you a part of this if you're not going to be together, you know, like, if you're not going to be. Like, if you're not going to be preaching the same shit that we've been. I don't know, man. It's just so tough. Like, I don't want you a part of this community if you feel a certain way, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like people have a range of emotions, and I the one thing I don't like is that I don't like seeing people not, like, afraid to discuss the minutiae of some of these issues, right? Like, you obviously the big issue comes down for me is when people start talking about the police. And I am not of the mind that all police are bad. Because that just can't possibly be the case. What I am of the mind of is that some police do bad things and aren't held accountable. And to me, what's up,
Bless? How do you guys feel about the phrase "all cops are bastards"? Because that's like a thing that's been circulating ACAB. Around. It's been a thing.
I don't know. I mean, that's the first time I'm hearing it, but it doesn't sound like a very positive term. I'll put it that way.
No, not at all.
To me, it goes back to the distraction stuff, man. And it's just like we need to not get caught up in the shit that doesn't matter. And like,
yeah, there's like,
and shit that doesn't matter. This minutia and stuff. It's like,
to me, that thing about stuff. Yeah, but to me, like, go ahead, Les.
Well, the phrase "all cops are bastards." If I understand it correctly from the things that I've honestly, the main source was actually a TikTok that fucking broke it down in a way where I was like, "Huh, that's interesting." But it's not necessarily meant to imply that all cops are bad people. It's essentially saying that the system is broken. The systems that the cops are meant to enforce is a broken system that was brought up with racism in mind, that was brought up with mm-hmm. imbalances of power in mind, and the cops are enforcing those systems. And so essentially they are enforcing a bastardized system. All cops are bastards. That's essentially where the phrase comes from, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, whenever people talk about
that phrase, is the thing where I'm like, don't get distracted by that. And if you're a cop and you're being called a bastard, you need to think about what you're doing. You need to really think about your actions, because don't get caught up in being called names. Who gives a fuck about these stupid ass names? Bastards, who cares? Don't be that. And if you believe you're not, then you're not. You're doing it right.
I think the most pushback that we'll get is how can you guys be on the side of these protesters? These protesters are throwing bricks through walls. They're beating up people. But like, I just think there's been so many situations where the police have been the agitators, and I've seen so many, like, I'm not going to say that these protesters are 100% peaceful. Of course not. There's always going to be bad apples in groups like that. There's going to be I think a large majority of people out there marching out there because they want to get their point across and they want to let everybody know how they feel. But there's going to be a small percentage of people that are just there to incite violence, that are just there to fuck shit up and throw bricks through windows and try to start fights and stuff. And then what eventually happens is people are getting fucking tear gas and shot with rubber bullets and getting their eyes knocked out and getting shot on their front porch or through their windows, like, or on their balconies. Like, and it just keeps on multiplying and exponentially getting worse. And I think cops really need to look at this and be like, after watching Trump talk and sounding like a fucking dictator and sounding like an absolute like authoritarian leader that's just trying to say like, if you know the army's coming after your ass, you know, if mm-hmm. it's just, I can't believe evil. We've gotten to
disgusting
this point.
Evil.
It's insane, dude.
Yeah, I mean, for just a note on the violence of protests, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, you know, just because you're mad that means you can go do violence against another human being. That's never going to fly in my book, and I don't care what the political issue is. But, like, again, I think it boils down to, if you're going out there and your purpose is to do violence, then you should be held accountable for that as well. If you're a human being and you attack another human being, I don't care if you think your cause is just. It's not cool.
Or
if you have a badge. I was going to say, the same goes for the cops, right? You cannot... That is like at the core of our legal system. It should be about, if you break the law, you go to jail. And that and for a lot of people who are wondering why there's frustration, is because that is not necessarily that core fundamental of our legal system doesn't necessarily apply to everyone. And that's not cool. Right. Yeah. There's two things that I think about this week that really annoy me to the point where, like, I can't deal with it. It's one is that, you know, looking at this video, it should not be a question that these guys were in the wrong, right? I mean, granted, they've had people come out and say, oh, he had a medical condition, he was this, he was that. Okay, but you're still having four people's body weight on one person. That's gonna, and the guy was asking for help.
For eight and a half minutes.
And this is what kills me, is that if I felt like I am in a place of, as an American, where I feel like the police are here to protect and serve me. But if I didn't feel that way, and not everyone feels that way, that would be terrifying. It would be terrifying to pay taxes and to have people out there who are supposed to be looking out for me who aren't held accountable, and they can just come in and hurt me whenever they want. That's where the frustration comes from. That's where the fear comes from. And that's unacceptable. That just has to be stopped. And the way you stop it, unfortunately, is you have to stop protecting bad cops, and you have to put good cops out into the field, preferably from the community in which they are serving and living, hopefully, and get them out there and make it so there's not this this perpetuated institutionalized racist fear where every time it's us versus them, quote unquote, us being the cops, them being the citizens. And I think a lot of cops I talk to think about it as almost war. And it's like, I don't know that it should be thought of like that. because that frames your mentality in such a, you know, a ones and zeros sort of like black and white issue. And it's not, it shouldn't be that way.
That's the scariest thing, because when you're talking about the cops and the good cops, bad cops and all of that, and we see now all of these freaking horrifying fucking videos over the last week, over the last forever, but specifically the last week, and you see the cops that are, you know, taking the riot gear off, and they're just like, they're joining the protest and whatever. It's like, that stuff needs to keep happening. What's scary is the cops that are the good cops that are turning their badges in and quitting. Because that means the good cops are no
that's
longer
bad.
Part of
that's
the
that's not
system.
Good, right?
It's only the bad ones. And like, that is so scary that it's going to continue going that way. But something needs to be fucking done. And it's like,
I'm somewhat conflicted, because like, at a certain point, like, it's not on the individual level anymore with the cops. At a certain point, it is the system that is fucked. Like, it is like the amount of power that cops have and the amount of power that they can abuse, and they can do whatever they want. Like, there's for so many people in this country, I think there's an inherent fear of police officers, like me included. Like, most of the encounters that I've had with police officers at this point have been less than ideal, right? And I'm not just talking about like getting tickets or whatever, because you can give me a speeding ticket if I was speeding, I don't care, like, do your job. But like, there, and I've talked about this on podcasts, specifically Spot On Me podcast, but there have been moments where I'm hanging out in my neighborhood, right? Picking up, actually, I talked about this on my stream, but like, you know, one of the cases I think of is, yeah, one time I was hanging out in my neighborhood picking up my friend Huey. Huey being one of my best friends at the time, right? Asian dude, way taller than me, boxer dude, bigger than me. Obviously, like, I'm not a threat to him whatsoever. We lived in the same neighborhood. I went to pick him up, and I remember him coming to my car and being like, "Hey, what's going on back there? Like, what's up with like the car parked behind you?" And I was like, "Wait, what? What's going on?" Looked in my mirror, there's an officer. The officer then approaches us and asks like, "Hey, is everything good?" And specifically like talks to Huey like, "Hey, like, are you good? Is everything good?" And me and Huey are both like, "Yeah, like, we're fine. Like, what's up?" And he's just like, "Cool, I'm just checking." And he goes away, and it's like, me and Huey looked at each other like, what just happened? Why is this officer approaching us? And it wasn't until like halfway to our destination where we're like, oh yeah, you just got profiled, right? Like, that's one case. Another case being, I remember hanging out with another group of friends, and people were kind of wilding out. It was like 9 p.m. It was dark. We're on campus. And I remember being approached by police officers because, you know, we're having a little bit too much fun. And they're essentially coming through to tell us to like chill, calm down.
Quiet down,
yeah. And for some reason, and we're essentially in a parking garage, because we're about to head home. And for some reason, the officer comes to me specifically, like approaches me specifically, and threatens to like search my car for weed and search my car for drugs if this continues. Me, who at that time, right, I was like 18 years old, was a college kid who was attending church, who would never touch a drug, like, was very confused about why that was happening to me specifically, as opposed to all the white people I was hanging around. And, you know, it's always a thing where I think back to it and I was like, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, there are quite a few situations like that I can point to why cops are not trusted by so many people. And like, for me, it's not even necessarily on the cop. Like, you know, cops as individuals are whatever, right? I have a family friend that's a cop. 2014, my house caught on fire. He was the first person to show up to my home in order to check up on us, because he recognized the address and he wanted to make sure that we were good, right? Like, that's a good person, right? That's a family friend. That's somebody who I appreciate. But at a certain point, the system is so fucked that I kind of understand cops being like, yo, I'm gonna resign because like, this is wrong, right? Like, we're serving like this government organization that like is fucked, right? Like, all of us here know that Donald Trump is fucked. Donald Trump sucks at his job, should be fired, right? Like, all of us know that, and all that stuff trickles down in a way where you look at what we have now, you look at the systems that are in place, you look at the systems that have been in place since this country has been established, right? And those systems are still in place. Like, yeah, it's one of those things where I don't know what the exact answer is, and to kind of what Tim was saying earlier, right? Like, I don't know if there is an end to it. Like, the only things that I know to do practically are, one, to speak up, two, to donate, vote, right? And not just in the presidential election, but on the local levels where things can actually get changed, right? As far as like when you look at police systems, like you can enact change on the local level as opposed to voting out a president. Like there's so much to be done. That yeah, like it's hard for me to even like identify officers as good officers and bad officers, right? Like the reason I bring up the phrase "all cops are bastards" is for the reason that like at a certain point I just don't trust any of you. Like I don't trust the system because y'all are scary. Like y'all are serving a power that doesn't like people who look like me.
Just feels like they have carte blanche to kind of do whatever they want, you know?
Yeah, and I just don't know what to do about it. As funny as like I don't know what to do about it.
And you also worry, will they even face consequences if they do something bad to me? You know, yeah. or something like
it's
that.
It's not even a worry; they won't.
Yeah, right?
like that's the problem.
And their unions will fight for them to keep their jobs and all that.
I don't want
to. The craziest thing to think about with the Floyd stuff, if I can just toss.
Oh yeah, no, go for it. Go for it.
It's just the idea of like, you know, what if this guy's been arrested, right? When this goes to trial, what if it goes like Rodney King? Right, and that would be bad. They rule that he, that's to say, that's underplaying it just a little bit. I'm a little fuzzy on the whole good bad thing, Egon.
What do you mean? I mean, like, to be fair though, if you go back and watch, I mean, both of these are very difficult for me to watch, and I imagine they are for you guys. But you go back and watch the original Rodney King beating, and that is, it's unbelievable. If you saw that, and then you said, "Do these guys A, get away scot free, or B, go to jail for life?" I'd be like, oh, no fucking way they got away scot-free. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous that they got off on that case. But yeah, I mean, sorry, Greg, I interrupted.
No, that was it. I'm blessing you were driving somewhere if you still want to.
Yeah, like I didn't want to like get into a point where I was like ranting the whole episode, but like to reference the shooting from back home, right? Like this was when I was in high school. This is happening in 2009. I had to look up the article because it was one of those things where, as I was saying it on the podcast, I was on KFGD this morning. I was like, I gotta look that up because that was like a wild thing that I didn't realize was actually like a signifier for a larger issue that was going on. But I found the article. And the kid's name was Kiwan Carrington, born in 1994, died in 2009, 15 years old. He was born July 14th, 1994 in Champaign, Illinois. So that would have meant he was born in the same hospital that I was 12 days after. And so like take that for what you will. I'm pulling this article and I'm going to read this article, and then I'm going to point to another article and read that one, because like this is the thing that for me looking at today almost made me sick to my stomach. Right. Kiwan Albert Carrington, 1994 through 2009. And this is looking back 10 years. This article reads, born in Champaign, Illinois, on July 14th, 1994, Kiwan Carrington was 15 years old when he was shot and killed by a Champaign police officer in 2009. The son of Rita Williams and Albert Carrington, he was a student at the Ready Program School, where he enjoyed working on computers and playing basketball. Carrington's mother, Rita Williams, passed away from pancreatic cancer in 2008, and Rhonda Williams, his aunt, had welcomed him into her home. On October 9th, a rainy October afternoon, Carrington had forgotten his key to his aunt's house. His class for the Regional Educational Alternative for Developing Youth program was canceled for the day, and he had no other plans. Locked out of that home, Carrington and his friend, Jashawn Manning Carter, made their way to the backyard with hopes of finding cover to get out of the rain. A suspicious neighbor who noticed the teens assumed they were attempting to break into the home, called the police, and reported a burglary in progress. Champaign Police Chief R.T. Finney was the first to respond to the call and found the two boys in the backyard. Finney demanded that they get on the ground of the muddy yard, knowing that he and his friend had done nothing wrong. Kiwan Carrington attempted to walk away. Finney reportedly grabbed Carrington, initiating a physical struggle between the two. When Officer Daniel Norbitz, a 14-year veteran of the Champaign Police Force, arrived at the Williams home, he did not know whether the boys were armed, but he drew his pistol as a precaution. Norbitz stated that he fired his gun accidentally. The bullet had went through Carrington's left elbow and into his heart. Within an hour of the initial confrontation, Carrington died at the Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. And Carl also hospital would be the hospital where both of us were probably born, right? And this went down, I believe, in Garden Hills neighborhood, which is a neighborhood that is literally down the street from where I grew up and where I live, right? I'm going to end that article there, right? Because that gives context. And I remember this happening vividly when I was in high school, 2009, because the whole school like did things for it, right? Like this is like a big case in my city, and I don't remember it making any sort of national news. This is one of those things where it was very contained to my area, And like, this is before Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown or any of those, like any of the other bigger cases that we see now that we point back to. This was one that was very low key that like not really many people paid attention to, but a case that is fucking tragic, right? An officer accidentally disarming, firing his firearm and killing a teenager, right? Who was the exact same age as me, was in the same school system as me. I'm now looking at this article from the News Gazette, which is like the newspaper in Champaign, Illinois. The article reads, "The officer whose gun discharged, resulting in the accidental shooting death of an unarmed Champaign teen in 2009, received his final employment payments this year." And this is an article from 2014. "The city has paid $423,697 to former officer Daniel Norbitz since October 9th, 2009, the day his gun accidentally discharged, resulting in the death of 15-year-old Keywan Carrington. The information was released to the News Gazette after the newspaper filed a request for the records under the Freedom of Information Act. Norbert's final payments came this year when the city paid him a workers' compensation settlement of $132,944. He also received his final separation payment of $34,111 for vacation, personal, comp, and sick leave he had accumulated during the time he was employed with the Champaign Police Department. That brought the 2014 total to $167,055, the most of any year since the shooting. All the compensation he received since the shooting was payment to which he was legally entitled under either disability and workers' compensation laws or through the police union labor contract," City Manager Dorothy Davids said Wednesday. Norbitz has spent the past 5 years mostly away from the Champaign Police Department, but he continued receiving payments during that time. He was placed on administrative leave immediately following the shooting, but later returned to work and was assigned to off-street administrative duties. According to city documents, he was placed on duty. Injury leave in May 2010. At the time, then city manager Steve Carter cited stress-related issues as the reason. In May 2011, he began receiving workers' compensation, and that continued until Norbitz was approved to receive a disability pension in November 2013. So that's an officer who killed a teenager, right? Killed a black teenager. And essentially admitted that, hey, it was an accident. I didn't mean for my gun to get discharged. I didn't mean for that to happen. And then essentially got off work later and got paid for it. Got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for it, right? And to this day, as far as I understand, is fine. As far as I understand, is like out there thriving. And so, like, for me, looking at this, I look at the issue being a system that doesn't care about black people who get killed, doesn't care about black teenagers who get killed, doesn't care about black men who get killed, but does care about officers, does care about protecting the system and protecting the corrupt structures that are in place. And for me, that's kind of the takeaway for me for this week, right? Remembering the story and looking into it and understanding how fucking tragic it is and how fucking tragic everything is going on is. And so that's where I'll leave it for now.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, to mirror that, right, obviously, like, in my opinion, knowing just the facts that you said, this guy should have been held accountable for that. If I accidentally drive over someone in my car, I don't get to just apologize and then feel bad about it. I go to jail, right? That's just how it goes. And so I don't think that should be any different for anyone in our country at all. The only silver lining I could say that's happened in the last week is that they did arrest the cop. Right. Mm-hmm. They need to. I don't know. As of taping this, I haven't read up on whether or not they actually arrested the other three cops as being complicit in it. I know they were looking at that. They said the DA was looking at it. But that needs to happen. Right. And they need to go to trial. And for sure, they need to go to jail. If all the facts that I have right now are all the facts of the case, then to me, this is a criminal. This is at least criminal negligence.
What about the other cops? You know, the ones that weren't involved with this, but that are involved in all the other stuff where, like, there's one video that is just absolutely horrifying to me, where it is the line, they're all on the grass, and it's a bunch of peaceful protesters that are literally just there. And there was the one black man who was trying to rally them together and was just being nothing but positive, talking about love, talking about loving the cops, being united, all this stuff. There's a line of cops in front of them, and this guy is just saying nothing but positive things and trying to unite everybody. And one of the cops just comes, grabs him, and pulls him into the group of cops, and he's arrested. Why? That's peaceful protest. That is what is supposed to be just totally allowed. It's like, at that point, it's like, arrest that cop. That cop did something that is illegal. You should not be able to stop somebody from peacefully protesting when it's fully fucking allowed.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, I mean, you're right, absolutely. But I think as far as the movement is concerned, like taking it one step at a time and fighting the battles that need fighting immediately, right now is George Floyd, right? That is the case that there needs to be resolution on, and it needs to not be a repeat of what Greg brought up earlier, which is the Rodney King trial, which was largely like just unfathomable how these cops got off. To me, again, if police officers knew that if they stepped out of line, they were going to be held accountable for it, I think you'd see a radical change pretty quickly there, right? If I knew, like, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, well, first off, I can't break rules because I can't lie. It's just impossible for me to do. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I break a law, I'm going to jail, right? That's just how it's going to go. I don't have the kind of money that can buy me out of this crap. And cops shouldn't have the kind of influence or union that should do it either. And again, I don't mean that to say,
I don't know that you would, though. I don't know that you would. We're seeing the evidence that you wouldn't, because during these protests, there's peaceful protests going on, and there's this white dude walking with a freaking machine gun on his back in a place that you're not allowed to carry. And they just tell him to go home.
Yeah, but there's also guys,
he's doing something illegal.
There's also been instances, to be fair, of white guys who have done stupid shit that have got arrested. There's a guy that decided to shoot a bow and arrow into the crowd.
This guy got arrested. It's sure. This is where the butts come in, where it's like, why are we running?
I agree, but you can't. You're trying to say, hey, I want to wave a magic wand right now and absolve the entire country of racism. It's just not going to happen, right?
That's not what I'm saying that we need to like follow the laws of arresting people that deserve to be arrested and not arresting people that don't deserve to be arrested. This is on camera. We are seeing this. Everyone has a camera on them that they are posting live. We're seeing what's going on. It's like, it's not a magic wand. It is. No, there's some obvious things that need to be done here. There's some obvious corrupt people that are corrupt on camera, and they need to be dealt with.
Agreed. And that's what you're seeing. And that's why you're seeing people protest right now. People are going to keep protesting until at least a little bit of that justice is served. And unfortunately, it's just not a realistic expectation that every single bad cop right now or a police officer who has perpetrated something like this is going to immediately get put into handcuffs. That's just, it should be. And you're absolutely right, Tim. Because it's not physically possible. There's 318 million Americans in this country, and there's probably 2 million cops. And it seems the justice system cannot keep up with that thing.
But it seems like they can keep up with putting the handcuffs on a bunch of protesters.
Right. And the reason they can do that is because we haven't had moments yet like the Harvey Weinstein moment, where as the entire country has stood up and said, nope, this is what's going to happen to you if you do this shit. Even if you're a powerful human being, guess what? We're not standing for that shit anymore. And what I'm hoping is that the George Floyd case can actually hopefully be the tip of that spear, where when a cop thinks, oh, maybe I'm going to just harass this young black man who's hanging out with his white friend on the side, he thinks twice about that, because he's seen that there, you know, he knows he's stepping over that line, and he's seen consequences for it. And really, that's at the heart of the issue, is that people think they can operate with impunity, and they can. So we need to, as a society, and this is what hopefully we're seeing right now, is that everyone needs to get out of their house, or at least vote with their wallet, donate to a good cause, use your platform to talk about this stuff and tell people it's not okay, so that the next time a cop thinks about abusing his or her power, they think twice about that. I say this with all, like, I am not on the line, by the way, of saying like all cops are evil or all cops are bastards, whatever that line is. And I know, no disrespect to you, a blessing on that one. I don't think that all cops are evil. And in fact, I don't think the vast majority of cops are evil. I think the more important point that Blessing made was that the system allows those who are evil to operate with impunity. And we can't allow that anymore. We cannot. Every time something like this happens, there needs to be not equal, but harsher consequences on the other side with protests, letting people know it's not okay, putting the pressure on the Minnesota mayor and the governor to be like, what are you going to do? Because we're going to stand on your front lawn until you prove to us that the people we are protecting, paying to protect us, are actually here to do just that.
Those people standing on the lawn are getting arrested.
Of course they are, because they're going to get arrested, right? Because
I think there's so many different things coming together at once, which is why it's so not only deafening, but such a weight for everyone and a burden for everyone to carry. And obviously, this is like anything else we do, where we're saying all this from our lovely houses and rooms in San Francisco and shit like that. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying woe is us, but I think everybody has this malaise to them and what the fuck's going on. But it is George Floyd, right? But then it's this thing that keeps getting exacerbated by seeing what we're talking about, where suddenly it is broad strokes and it is everybody being piled together, where when, you know, you're talking about protesters, to when I think of the protesters, I'm thinking of the people who are marching. I'm thinking of the people with signs. I'm thinking of everybody taking a knee. I'm thinking of the amazing things we've talked about here of seeing police put down their riot gear, take a knee. I think it was down in one of the Los Angeles counties last night, right, where they had an agreement or whatever, where the cops are like, hey, like you have to go home by curfew. Like, we'll only do that if you kneel with us. And they're like, oh, totally. And they kneeled with them. And sure shit, at like 7 o'clock, everybody went home. Right. But then there's another, when you talk to other people, they're thinking protesters and they're putting the rioters in there that are burning things down and looting and doing all these things. And it's getting all mixed up in the same way that I think it's easy to mix up that there are these good cop stories. There's these bad cop stories. It's Trump out there stoking the fires and talking about the National Guard and going on this firing tear gas. You can hear the tear gas going off while he's giving the speech to then go over to the church to hold up a Bible. It's all of these things getting layered. And I think
the church itself was like, what the fuck are you doing? Don't do that in our church.
It's the thing, you know, what you're talking about, Nick, of, you know, wanting to see justice in this George Floyd thing. The other thing, obviously, we're all looking for is from these videos, right? You are seeing of police using excessive force. We mentioned Minnesota, right? The firing the paint gun into the people's porch while they're sitting there filming him. It's the one, I think, of NYPD, where the two cop cars roll up to that barricade and one just guns it into them or whatever. Like, it's... those are such shocking, terrible, horrible videos that need to be seen, obviously, to understand what the fuck's going on out there and see the abuse of power. But then it's that. You need to see that as well. Like, I see yesterday, it's from today. This is the Wall Street Journal. NYPD opens probe into officers who drove police cars into protesters, right? Like, you need to see that, but you need to see it crack, and you need the names, and you need suspensions. It's the thing going around right now with badge numbers being covered up, and then NYPD saying that's because of COVID deaths, when in reality, is it? No, it's you trying to hide who's doing it. But it's the same thing of, like, I've seen the video, too, of a cop throwing a peaceful protester down and then going to meet up with the other cops, and one of the other cops, a female officer, running over and, like, shoving him, being like, what the – like, you know what I mean? Like, there's this – there are so many things to it, and I think it's so easy to just start putting people in buckets and not understand how broad this spectrum is. And that doesn't obviously help us when we're all so angry, and we all want action, and we all want the world we thought existed to be there, right? Like, I can't fathom you going back in time and telling me this when I was watching Obama's election night victory speech. Like, I thought, like, don't get me wrong, I didn't think racism was dead. But I thought we had just made such a progressive move in this country, right? And to sit there and be like, what, 12 years later, right? To be like, oh, hey, it's all falling apart. It's worse than ever. We have this more bigoted president than ever. Like, you know what I mean? Who's not like, he's sounded the klaxons to let everybody who wants to be a racist come out and do it. He's giving the speech specifically calling out the Second Amendment so that the argument being he's that then it reads into that, you know, the right to bear arms, so that his MAGA people will go out there and carry their arms in this thing. It's just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, like, I just read bad fan fiction.
I think that for me, that's part of what, like, I understand what you're saying with the Harvey Weinstein moment of we need that, but I don't even know if that's possible at this point with this specific issue, because with Harvey Weinstein, right? Like, I think for so many people, that was a point of being of us going like, oh, shoot, this, like, for men specifically, like, oh, shoot, this is way worse than we thought. Like, this is a thing that, like, we all perpetuate and just fucking, like, either didn't realize or we were just all okay with and didn't care. And I think at a certain point, like, most of us hold hands in the fact that harassing women is bad, right? Sexual abuse is bad. Like, you know, Louis C.K. jerking off in front of people is horrible. Like, that you shouldn't do those things. And that's the thing we can all hold hands on. I think the thing about this issue specifically is the fact that I don't know if everybody holds hands on the fact that, like, Black Lives Matter. Like, the fact that policing is an issue. Like,
police reform there's still half.
Like, police reform is needed. Like, there's still half the country that votes for Donald, or maybe not say half the country, because I know there's fucked up shit in that, but there's still a percentage of the country that supports Donald Trump, and that supports the current state that we're in. And if I get out of my echo chamber of Twitter, right, where it is like a lot of people that look like me, a lot of people that tolerate what I have to say, and a lot of people that are probably more left leaning than right leaning. If I get out of my echo chamber, I'll probably see a lot of people that disagree when it, as far as like what people are fighting for with Black Lives Matter, you'll see a lot of people being like, no, well, actually, the real issue, and this is our president actually saying, oh, well, the big issue right here is actually like the rioting and actually like all the looting that's going on. I think it was the LA police chief that this week. That like
dial back to you, by the way, but
yeah, that said, like the looters and the rioters are at much at fault, and I can't remember the exact quote, but it was essentially along the lines of those people are essentially at much as fault as the police officers that killed George Floyd. And it's like there is a great percentage of people that think that way and that buy into that shit. And you know, I don't like, I think if there was a Harvey Weinstein moment, it would have happened years and years ago, right? Like Martin Luther King probably would have been that, like that moment of everybody being like, oh yeah, this is bad. Or like Ferguson or Trayvon Martin or like the billion other cases that we've had that we've recorded and put online should have been that moment.
By the way, I'm not saying first off, to address a couple of things so people don't to understand where my head's at with this, there's still plenty of people out there, by the way, that during the Me Too movement were arguing the opposite side of it as well. And there still are a lot of those guys out there that are like, how do you know? Like, why do you just believe everything everyone says? There's always that bullshit. And that's a whole other ball of wax that I don't feel like getting into right now. So there's always going to be an opposite side to whatever argument you have. And I don't think that I am not the kind of person that wants to operate like on either sides of the spectrum. I do think that there are nuances to these discussions. And I do think that there is hard line for me. If you're going to go out there and do violence, that is period just wrong. I don't care if you think you're right. I don't care if you're doing it because you have rage inside that's built up over however many years you've been mistreated. Going out there and hurting someone, specifically either an innocent person or someone who's there, how do you know if you're hurt? You know, that to me, that's inexcusable and should not be done, because violence only ever begets violence. That is just how that works. That's why when you start a war with someone, guess what? You're going to be fighting that fucking war for 100 years, because they're going to be pissed, and generationally, it's just going to keep echoing through that. But you know, my hope is that, you know, when you look at Martin Luther King, he did move the needle, right? He did. He just didn't cure it, right? And my point to you earlier is there is never going to be a cure for this. All there is going to be, let's make the system as good as we possibly can make it before we leave this earth, and hope to God the next generation pushes it forward, because there's always going to be evil in the world, and there's always going to be people who don't see eye to eye with us and think they're quote unquote superior. And that is just how it's going to be until, you know, our argument hopefully affects the system to a point where generationally that shit gets weeded out. And it has gotten better, and we have gotten better as a society. It's just this, we just have so much farther to go. That's the issue.
I go back to the thing of not getting distracted by the stuff, and to really understand like what's being said, not just on surface level, because when it comes to both the All Cops Are Bastards and Black Lives Matter, those statements, those names are designed to make people uncomfortable and to make them think about the statement itself and like what it actually means. And both of them, I don't think, are supposed to be you end there. There's supposed to be more that comes from that. And I think when it comes to the Black Lives Matter, the people that are like, well, what about other people? It's like, yeah, we fucking know. And when it comes to the All Cops Are Bastards, it's like there is nuance to it. There is conversations that need to be had there, but that is the statement that it's like, no, there's a fucking problem here, and we need to talk about it. We need to look into what the actual problem is.
Sure. Again, that's the thing about this with this week, right? Of this and why it obviously is horrific, and I wish we weren't living it, but hey, maybe there is a change here. Maybe there is something that's going to happen, is the fact that we're talking about it, right? Like, I think the fact that so many people are talking about Black Lives Matter, that are donating, are not afraid to say black man. You know, and I know that sounds weird, but I mean, like, as somebody who, like, you know, in college, AP style taught me to refer, not to assume American, so don't say African-American, say black. But I know that then out there and in the real world, I would say that and get looks or whatever. And I feel like there is this thing of race is so taboo in our country in a way that, and especially from us and being, you know, on a liberal side of things, it's more like you don't want that to define somebody. You don't want to talk about somebody's race and have that be a thing, right? Because you don't want to be one of the bad people. But then in this instance, like, that's what it's all about. And so to be empowered enough to actually talk about it, no, this is fucked up for the black community, and feel like you can come out and say that and have this conversation. Again, there's no silver lining to any of this. It's just a different kind of conversation that I don't think we've seen before in the limited, and this is embarrassing to say, but the limited flare-ups of this before, when something like Ferguson or Trayvon Martin has gone national, international news, it's never been this loud. And I do think, again, it is what we're talking about here, being this weird, horrific, apocalyptic, perfect storm, right? Of, yeah, we are locked down from the pandemic. Tensions already are high. This happens on this. This happens. And then not only does it happen, we see it escalate. We see the, you know, we see, it brings up so much. It brings up so much, right? Of, we see this, them not get immediately arrested. They finally get arrested. We see the police marching through the street and they are fucking, they look like they're goddamn future cops because they have all this crazy ass riot gear. And then it's the conversation of, wait, why the fuck can't we get everybody tested for COVID then? What was the problem there? And it is this thing of literally one fucking month ago, right? I have the Boston.com article up on May 2020. Trump calls Michigan protesters very good people. And it's like, you know, these, the Donald Trump expressed support Friday for armed protesters who would storm the Michigan Capitol or Michigan Capitol, demanding the state lift the coronavirus restrictions, as researchers estimated the coronavirus pandemic could stretch on for two more years. Trump tweeted Friday, "These are very good people, but they are angry. They want their lives back again safely." And then you cut back to the rhetoric and how he's been tweeting about this thing and how he's been talking about
Antifa
this.
Antifa is a terrorist organization.
Yeah, and you know. Yeah, exactly. And like you can point to, because I, you know, it is that thing of I don't want to fall into the same thing I'm trying to talk about, right? Of painting with these broad brushes and stuff. And like I'm going off of his tweets there. You can go read the speech he did yesterday, right? Where he's talking about doing this. And he, you know, he is saying, you know, I am your president of law and order and an ally of the peaceful protesters. And then he's getting into this professional anarchists, violent mobs, arsonists, looters, criminals, rioters, Antifa, and others, right? Like, I'm not trying to get into the minutiae here of, like, he's saying all protesters are bad. I think his actions speak louder than his words on this. His tweets speak louder than his prepared speeches. I digress, though, right? Like, there's so much going on at once that we're literally on a powder keg. And I do wonder what's going to happen. And it's that thing of trying to think of the past 2 days, right, have actually been on a shoot for the first time in forever. And that will be a topic for another time when we come up, just to talk about what it's like to be actually doing what my job is and what, well, part of our job, obviously this is our job, but what it's like to go off and film something like that in the new world, and not the new protest world, in the new COVID world of having a medic on site who temperature checks me as soon as I get there, who I never get within 6 feet of anybody. I'm miking myself. I'm doing all these things, you know, a production that in past you would have had 20 people running around doing different things is now a skeleton crew of 5 people, 6 people with everybody else on a Zoom call noting. It was number one, ridiculous. Number two, inspiring that like, all right, even if this is how bad it is, we can work within CDC guidelines to make this happen, to do this thing, to make it something. But day one, we were shooting, right? And we had to cut the shoot early because we were downtown San Francisco. And it was that thing of the sirens kept getting louder and louder. And then the helicopters would come by and then it was helicopters nonstop. And to get out and get on the street and start to go home, and like one block away was the peaceful protest. This was in the, you know, daytime. It wasn't before anybody was doing any of the more, I don't want to say riot SF. There was some, you know, looting, glass breaking and stuff like that, but not like what we've seen in other places. I don't want to trivialize what you're seeing across the country. But like to get down and just look to your left, you're like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? Like, right? Like we are in such a weird world right now of everything being on top of each other.
It comes with mixed emotions too for me, especially when you see like windows broken and when you see riots happening on TV and you see looting happening on TV. Like that comes with very mixed emotions because I definitely don't condone like violence and I don't condone rioting and I don't condone people go out there and you know, fuck up property and all that stuff. But then at the same time, I'm like, at least like if this is what it takes to get heard, then like by any means necessary, I guess, like fuck Target if that's what it takes.
They
like,
didn't listen to the peaceful protest. They didn't listen to Kaepernick kneeling. Like all of that was bullshit.
Like it was our friend Steven Spawn, right, from Able Gamers, who put out this 1962 John F. Kennedy tweet. Quote, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." I retweeted that, and that's when a whole bunch of people popped up and were like, one guy specifically is like, "I hope San Francisco burns," because as I read like this, and I'm like, "You're missing my point here. I don't think JFK's next sentence there was burn so it fucking all down. Ride away, boys." You know what I mean? Down. Like, no, it's like this. I don't condone rioting and violence for just running out there and doing that. Right? I understand, and this is again where I think, we talk about our microcosm, our community, or whatever. I see things stressed and split because everybody has a different interpretation of what words you're using. And so I think that you see when we're being so gung-ho for protesters, people are like, well, the rioting's bad, but they call those protests, and it's this whole mixed up thing. To the tweet, right, or the tweet, to the sentence from JFK, right, it's not that I'm like, yeah, so fuck yeah, right away. It is a, this is what happens when you bottle all this up, when you don't let people do it, when you talk about them being wrong, right? And it's that idea of generations of blacks being put down and made to feel inferior, and these things we thought we had gotten over. And again, me being a privileged, isolated white person, thinking that these weren't the real, that not that they weren't real problems, but we were past them to an extent, right? Clearly, this if cops are doing whatever, then they have to be going after the bad guys. So blah blah blah. Like you get here and like, yeah, Andy, to your point, the Kaepernick stuff, right? Like being told at every turn, like, no, don't protest that way, right?
These son of a bitches, these son of a bitches that are kneeling, you know?
Right? I mean, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that was our biggest concern then, and like, it was the same thing of like, you know, I saw somebody else. There's all these interesting, like, you know, I don't have the proper perspective, I think, to have, like, you know, really radical insight to any of this. So that's why, you know, the Blackout Tuesday has been so interesting to listen and hear from smarter people. But in general, seeing people from who've lived this entire way, right, the black community. And the one great one the other day that I don't have a credit for, sadly, but was this idea of, like, why are so many white Trump supporters freaking out at this, that we're burning stuff? You guys were burning all your Kaepernick gear and season tickets and all this shit. Don't you see like what this is? Like, you're getting in the way. Like, it's such a fucked up situation, but like the quote makes so much sense to me of not that I'm endorsing rioting, but like, yeah, if you make people bottle it up, if you make people eat shit every time they try to have this conversation, we refuse to have this conversation, that yeah, you're going to get to a point where guess what? They'd rather burn the system down than actually be a part of it anymore.
Or even when there are peaceful people getting shot with rubber bullets, or there are people kneeling down, getting knocked over.
Going after the fucking press.
I just
started going after an anti-fascist organization. Starting shit with Twitter because you don't want them fucking fact check. Get the fuck out of here.
That's what makes the news, though. You know, it's like, and that's the thing is, like, in when it comes to San Francisco, like, what has been making the local news and like just the news in general is it's all just it's that bad stuff, and it's not focusing on all of the peaceful protesting happening on the Great Highway, which is closed right now because of COVID. There's just this long stretch in San Francisco that is right next to the beach. And all day today, it was just packed with people that are protesting. There's nothing to loot there. There's like literally you're next to the beach. There's no like houses. There's no nothing. There's nothing for them to fuck up. And they're not. There's live Instagram videos of them just fucking walking. What's the next thing that happens? There's military jeeps and military people there. And it's like the only way this makes the news is if they make it violent.
Yeah.
And like that's horrifying because otherwise the peaceful
and, Trump protest, and I don't understand. I don't understand how so many law enforcement, National Guard, whatever authority figures have stepped on the rake on this one, where it's like, it's exactly what we're talking about. Like you're when you fuck up the peaceful protests, right? Like I've seen so many good ones and we've seen so many videos, right? But of the guys, they're screaming at a black officer, right? And he's just literally talking. He's huge. He's talking to them, like talking down, not in a bad way, but like in terms of height. Like
he's if taller.
I was talking
to Andy.
How you always talk to me. Because Andy's so tiny. You know what I mean?
Like, beautiful.
And he's like, you know, explaining it all very simply. And then they're like, why didn't you tell him? Why did you go over there? He's like, well, I went over there and told him to shut the fuck up. And everybody cheers and he fist pounds him. And it's like, if you can just be a fucking human in this situation, which I understand is incredibly tough with people screaming at you and doing these things, blah, blah, blah. But I think it seems like the majority of these protests, the peaceful protests, are people trying to vent. And like, why wouldn't you do it? Yeah. And I know it's gone around. I want to say it's the Flint, Michigan sheriff, but like, you know, who is there? Like, we're here to march with you. We put down all our batons. We're here to do this stuff. Like the people taking a knee with him. It's like, then you jump to these cuts of, yeah, people running them over with the cars, throwing them down, macing the shit out of everybody. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, all, you know what I mean? These are college kids. Are
definitely the wrong tactic.
Follow up on those actions. Yeah. I always hate when mainly Trump supporters, the MAGA chuds will, you know, talk about these. Well, look at this black woman and her business being looted, and they threw a window through her and she's pissed off about it. It's like, first off, you don't give a fuck about this black woman's business. Don't try to act like you give a shit. You're just using this to weaponize and talk shit and be angry at the looters, which again is such a small percentage. Of course, every group, you can't control everybody. I think, again, a large percentage of these people out there trying to voice their concerns, there's going to be bad people in there, whether, like, you know, some of them are some of them are just straight up like white supremacists acting as like Antifa and stuff like that, and like breaking shit or trying to, you know, incite violence or whatever.
Even worse.
But it's I guess it's like the same thing whenever like whenever we say lock Trump up for being a sexual abuser and sexual harasser, and they go, well, what about Clinton? Like fuck, lock him up too, bro. I don't give a shit. You know, like it's just so beyond their frame of mind that we would want the right thing to be done as opposed to the thing that we just want to be done.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think that's an important point, right? Is that it's not about justice for one side or the other. It's about justice for all. That's what it's supposed to be. And I think the mentality people get into when they start talking about these incredibly important issues is that they start feeling like it's us or them for some reason. And that doesn't have to ever be the case. It's this weird famine mentality or feast or famine mentality where people think that because Blessing doesn't get the same, like if Blessing gets equal rights to me, that's somehow taking rights away from me. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It's not how it has to work, guys. Everyone can have equal representation by the people we pay to protect us. That's not, I don't understand where people get off and make it this weird political thing. And I think it boils down to people just being frustrated with their own lives and wanting to feel like they have some level of power over something. And this is just, it's the wrong tactic to take.
Two of my favorite statements this week. I actually want to read them because, like, as I've been taking everything in over the last week and in like having conversations with people and hearing what people have to say, specifically people who are smarter than me, because like for me, right, I am not a professional in law or in like the criminal justice system by any means. I'm just a black dude, and that's the only thing I can be an expert about is me being black. I tend to like look around and see what people are saying and see like what is the actual thing that can lead to change, because that's the question I kind of keep asking myself, and that's the question that I think I might have brought up like earlier in this episode of like I just don't know like what the direction is, like what, like how we put an actual stop to this. I have a statement here that is coming from Barack Obama, of course, former president. He has a Twitter thread that I thought was very, very well said and very well pointed as far as like an actual direction in which we can go with all this, right? It reads, as millions of people across the country take to the streets and raise their voices in response to the killing of George Floyd and the ongoing problem of unequal justice, I've heard many ask how we can sustain momentum to bring about real change. Ultimately, it's going to be up to a new generation of activists to shape strategies that best fit the times, but I want to highlight some basic lessons from past efforts that are worth remembering. One, the protests represent a genuine, legitimate frustration over a decades-long failure to reform police practices and the broader criminal justice system. We should condemn the few who resort to violence, not the overwhelming majority who deserve our respect and support. Two, the point of protest is to raise public awareness, to put a spotlight on injustice, and to make the powers that be uncomfortable. But eventually, we have to translate those aspirations into specific laws and institutional practices. Three, to do that, and I guess these numbers are to donate, or not to to denote the actual numbering of the Twitter thread. I guess I don't have to read the numbers. But he continues, to do that, we have to know which levels of government have the biggest impact. Changing the federal government is important, but the elected officials who matter the most in reforming police departments and the criminal justice systems work at the state and local levels. And then he continues to say, so if we want to bring about real change, the choice isn't between protests and politics. We have to do both. We have to mobilize to raise awareness, and we have to organize and cast our ballots to make sure that we elect candidates who will act on reform. The more specific we can make demands for criminal justice and police reform, the harder it will be for elected officials to just offer lip service to the cause and then fall back into business as usual once protests have gone away. And if you have, and he continues to link Obama.org if you want to learn how to further your action with it. But I think that's that last one, I think, is very salient for coming from Barack Obama, who of course was the fucking president, saying that, yeah, the more specific we can make our demands for criminal justice and police reform, the harder it will be for elected officials to just offer lip service and then fall back into business as usual, right? Because that's the thing we see over and over again, and that's the thing that really frustrates me, seeing the cycle of Trayvon Martin gets killed. All right, let's all get angry about it. Ferguson happens, Michael Brown gets killed. All right, let's get angry about it, and then it goes away.
It's just
all right,
like school shootings.
Yeah, like just like yeah, like it's pretty much the same rotation, right? Like we all forget so quickly, but like
well, that's yeah, and again, I think that's a perfect point because the system is because that problem is insurmountable if you try to take it on. If one person tries to fight the entire system, it's going to fail. And I think that's a very very salient point. I think that you know, and Tim, I think this is what I was trying to get across earlier, but I don't know that I was necessarily. It's just that we have to fight the battles we know we can win now that'll help move the ball down the field. And putting everyone in jail right now that's done something wrong in one of these protests is absolutely the right thing to do. But I just don't know if that's going to be tenable. You know, I just don't know if we actually physically can do that right now. But what we can do is boil it down to, all right, well, let's make sure that the people who perpetrated this know that they're going to jail. And if anyone else is thinking about doing that, there are the same consequences waiting for them if that's going to be the case. And let's make sure the mayor knows not to protect these guys or else he's not going to get reelected. And the same with the governor and the same with the police chief of LA who said this horrible thing that should not be forgotten, especially being from the chief of a place that has perpetrated the most egregious of all offenses. Which
can
is,
you imagine? Which is like, can you believe that that's the case? That it's fucking LA? Like in California? Like,
this can't, dude. I know it's crazy. And granted, I doubt it's the same police chief from back in the day with Rodney King beatings. I'm sure.
No, that makes it even worse.
But yeah, you would, out of all people, you should not say things like that, knowing fully well the ramifications of what happened the last time that went down. But I think that was a really good point.
And then thank you. To bring in the second statement, right? Like a lot of brands have been talking, and a lot of brands, we talked about this on KFGD also this morning between me and Khalif, right? But you know, a lot of brands have been speaking out and like saying things. And I think the ultimate takeaway from for me and Khalif was that like it's very easy to say things. It's very easy to like come out and have lip service, right? But the thing that we actually look forward to when brands speak is action. There is one brand that had a statement that fucking blew me away, and that is Ben & Jerry's. Ben & Jerry's statement on this whole situation is fucking crazy.
There are no brands that do this shit, man.
They're the goat.
On their website, benjerry.com, they have like a they have essentially like a blog page, right? And they posted with a huge image that says "We must dismantle white supremacy." And they have a whole blog post here that I want to read because coming from Ben & Jerry's, this is incredible. It says, "All of us at Ben & Jerry's are outraged about the murder of another black person by Minneapolis police officers last week and the continued violent response by police against protesters. We have to speak out. We have to stand together with the victims of murder, marginalization, and repression because of their skin color, and with those who seek justice through protests across the country. We have to say his name, George Floyd. George Floyd was a son, a brother, a father, and a friend. The police officer who put his knee on George Floyd's neck and the police officers who stood by and watched didn't just murder George Floyd, they stole him. They stole him from his family and his friends and his church and his community and from his own future. The murder of George Floyd was the result of inhumane police brutality that is perpetuated by a culture of white supremacy. What happened to George Floyd was not the result of a bad apple. It was the predictable consequence of a racist and prejudiced system and a culture that has treated black bodies as the enemy from the beginning. What happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis is the fruit born of toxic seeds planted on the shores of our country in Jamestown in 1619. When the first enslaved men and women arrived on this continent. Floyd is the latest in a long list of names that stretches back to that time and that shore. Some of those names we know, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, Oscar Grant, Eric Garner, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Emmett Till, Martin Luther King, most we don't. The officers who murdered George Floyd, who stole him from those who loved him, must be brought to justice. At the same time, we must embark on the more complicated work of delivering justice for all victims of state-sponsored violence and racism. Four years ago, we publicly stated our support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Today, we want to be even more clear about the urgent need to take the concrete steps to dismantle white supremacy in all its forms. To do that, we are calling for four things. First, we call upon President Trump, elected officials, and political parties. And again, this is Ben & Jerry's.
I was going to say, this is a hell of a statement.
Well, yeah, again, Ben & Jerry's, if you don't remember, was like heavily involved before they actually became Ben & Jerry's. Like the people were involved with all of the Summer of Love stuff. And
yeah, they're
like,
hippies, all
the
right?
police. Yeah, they are hippies to the core and like fighting against the the BMO, all that stuff. So it's like, this yes. this is awesome that they're continuing.
Raging there. Against the Machine. I love
Raging
it.
Against the Machine for real. And they continue here, right? Talking about the four things. First, we call upon President Trump, elected officials, and political parties to commit our nation to a formal process of healing and reconciliation. Instead of calling for the use of aggressive tactics on protesters, the president must take the first step by disavowing white supremacists and national groups that overtly support him, and by not using his Twitter feed to promote and normalize their ideas and agendas. The world is watching America's response. Second, we call upon Congress to pass H.R. 40 legislation that would create a commission to study the effects of slavery and discrimination from 1619 to the present and recommend appropriate remedies. We cannot move forward together as a nation until we begin to grapple with the sins of our past. Slavery, Jim Crow, and segregation were systems of legalized and monetized white supremacy for which generations of Black and Brown people paid an immeasurable price. That cost must be acknowledged, and white privilege the privilege that accrued to some at the expense of others must be reckoned with and redressed. Third, we support Floyd's family's call to create a national task force that would draft bipartisan legislation aimed at ending racial violence and increasing police accountability. We can't continue to fund a criminal justice system that perpetuates mass incarceration while at the same time threatens the lives of a whole segment of the population. And finally, we call on the Department of Justice to reinvigorate its civil rights division as a staunch defender of the rights of Black and Brown people. The DOJ must also reinstate policies rolled back under the Trump administration, such as consent decrees to curb police abuses. Unless and until white America is willing to collectively acknowledge its privilege, take responsibility for its past and the impact it has on the present, and commit to creating a future steeped in justice, the list of names that George Floyd has been added to will never end. We have to use this moment to accelerate our nation's long journey towards justice and a more perfect union. And honestly, like, I couldn't put it any better.
Ben and Jerry, movie. Baby.
Like,
Ben and Jerry.
I didn't expect Ben and Jerry's to put it the best I could possibly like see it put.
I've been eating a lot of Ben and Jerry's yoga right now, and I'm happy we've been supporting them. I did not know yeah.
I got a Cherry Garcia in my fridge right now. Let's go. Ooh.
If we can order some Ben and Jerry's when we get back to the office, that'd be great.
We can do that.
and honestly, like, jumping off what you were saying about the brands, that kind of to me goes back to what I was saying earlier about like the not getting offended when people call you out on stuff. Like, we're a brand. Kind of Funny is a brand, and you know, we need to take action on all this. And I think that it's very easy for anyone to throw the meme around of the insert the brand here
brand.
Says this. Blah, 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 blah,
somebody
blah.
Did that to us the other night when we put up our statement. I got so mad.
But here's the thing: you get mad,
you turn off the fucking phone.
But you should take that anger and then turn it around and just keep doing what you're doing, which is the right thing.
Say that again. What happened?
There's that meme of the like insert brand here on black,
black with
the white text, and it's just it's all generic stuff. It's like, that's belittling all of this.
Cynical,
it's the same shit that always happens when this happens, where the people who don't agree with you and want to shut you down make you feel stupid for doing what you're doing.
And that's my thing is, don't feel stupid. You cannot feel stupid. And it's like, if you feel like you're being called out, it's not about you. And like, that's the thing, that you just need to keep going and listen to that feedback, and next time make a better step. I think a very, very key element of where me having to act this way is today, there was like, cool, it's the Blackout Tuesday. Everyone is going to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And one of those things is post the black square. What's the first thing that happens? People post the black square. There's people giving feedback of like, no, you're burying the voices. This is about
you're silencing them,
all this stuff. And it's like, I saw so many people get mad about it. I was like, well, I'm just trying, like, whatever. Like, you're pushing me back, whatever. It's like, don't get upset. It's not about that. Listen to what they're saying. And change your hashtag.
Change the hashtag.
Like,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's that simple, man. It's like, literally, we keep saying it's about listening, and it is. It's about listening. It's about acting. And it's about listening and acting and listening and acting again and again and again and again until this starts working more. And again, it's never going to be fully finished, but we need to just keep that cycle going.
To the brands thing too, like, you know, like, I don't think that one really applies to us as far as like what the thing is. Like, me and Khalif were talking about this today because somebody wrote into KFGD talking about
why Nintendo asking,
Nintendo has been very silent. Like, what are your thoughts on Nintendo not saying anything in regards to Black Lives Matter? And like, I very much like I get it, but I also have the response of like the Dave Chappelle stand up where he's like talking about 9/11 and and I think MTV or somebody was interviewing Ja Rule and Dave Chappelle going like, who gives a fuck about what Ja Rule has to say about it?
What does Ja Rule like think?
And, yeah.
And where real is quick, Ja? Though, bless, I do just want to say there is an update to this that an artist in Nintendo confirms Nintendo hasn't tweeted anything today. And they haven't made a statement about it, but they are matching donations matching donations for employees. So it's like,
that's really good.
They are doing things.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like to that point, right? Like at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck about what Nintendo has to say about Black Lives, right? Like I don't give a fuck about what Nintendo has to say about the police structure in the USA. Like I really do not. I could not care less.
The only reason I care about that stuff, and I know it's like so petty of me, but the only reason I want that and want all these brands to do this is only so the fucking people that don't agree with it go, oh, I'm pissed off. Fuck that. Like, I want them to know that they're being cast out. I want them to know that,
which is why, like,
their views are fucked like, up, you know?
Seeing PlayStation and Call of Duty delay their events and their seasons the last couple of days, right? And going to replies and seeing how angry people were, it's like, you know what, man?
I'm gonna buy go an Xbox it, now. No, you're not. Like, shut the fuck up. You
I
mean, idiot.
That was the point I was having conversations earlier about the blackout scores on Instagram, right? And it was the thing of like, it's that thing of like, when I first heard it, I was like, that kind of seems stupid. And then I was like, well, and the more I thought about it, I was just like, wanting it to be this thing that you open. Let's say you don't agree. Let's say you don't think Black Lives Matter, which is a ridiculous statement, but clearly people feel it. Or you think this whole thing's overblown or whatever, whatever. To have you open up your social media and see that all the people you follow do think it matters is hopefully a step towards, maybe I should think this, listen to the argument. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I shouldn't shut down.
Yeah, I think that's important too, right? Because the idea of how this is inevitably and eventually going to be solved is that it's people are going to realize the absurdity in at the core of what racism is, in that it's just a weird, stupid, perceived value of one person over another, and it has no foundation in reality, really. It has zero. And so the way that's going to get weeded out, and I don't want to boil it down to this, is going to sound insensitive, but is to have a stronger branding campaign on the side of people who aren't racist as opposed to the opposite side, right? And to see a lot of companies who people look up to for various different reasons come in and stand by that level of messaging is incredibly important. It's incredibly important that the companies that you look at, I mean, and I disagree with you, Blessy, just a little bit, is like, I do care what Nintendo thinks because I want to support people that are on the right side of history. That's the side of history that I believe in. And for them to put their money where their mouth is, I think is incredibly important. And I think that like, because you have to look at how a lot of this stuff has been baked into generations. It's just, it's got to at some point, and this is oversimplifying it, but it's got to stop being looked at as a positive thing if you're from a family of people who are racist. We have to change that image in the next, hopefully very soon, one to two generations if we possibly can. But I think it's awesome that Nintendo is doing that. That's really cool.
Well, to loop back around, because I didn't even finish my point. My point was that I was driving to was that like, when it comes to that brand meme, right, and like the purpose of it and what it's saying, right, like a lot of it is like the heart of it is saying we get so many statements that aren't saying anything, that aren't doing anything, right? Like there's so many statements that from brands that came out on Friday and Saturday that were like, hey, we stand with Black people, or hey, we disavow racism. And it's like that's the easiest, weakest
racism
thing to say,
is
right
bad.
Like racism is bad. That's the thing that we all agree with, like even the people that I don't agree with that racism is bad. That's why, like, when as it applies to Kinda Funny as a brand, right, where the person replied to the Kinda Funny tweet with that brand statement, if like one, whatever feedback we can get, we should take and grow from it. But also, like, Kinda Funny in that tweet was taking action, right? Like, we were changing up our content this week in order to get more Black voices on, right? We are donating, we are doing a bunch of stuff with Kinda Funny, and so I don't necessarily take that brand meme, because I agree with the meme. Like, I think the meme is very poignant in saying that like there's a lot of empty words coming from a bunch
like,
of brands,
like Blizzard saying it, and it's like, come on,
the NFL, are you
the NFL saying
you,
it?
Like,
oh my god,
off. Oh yeah, yeah.
The NFL saying, the Washington fucking Redskins, who have a fucking racial slur in their name, saying it. Like,
you see AOC
on,
go
guys.
After them,
huh?
No. AOC went after them for that.
Oh, really? No, I didn't.
They're like, change your fucking name. You can't say this. Really, change your fucking name.
But yeah, like that. I think when I went, or when brands want to speak out and actually like take a stance and take a position with this sort of thing, like my preferred thing would be to see some sort of action that actually seems like it takes sacrifice. And so like when I look at PlayStation and the Call of Duty things, right, and they're moving their events, right, like that's the thing that actually affects how the company goes. And of course those are also like, there's marketing looped into that, and there's like PR and stuff, that's why I looped into that too, as far as like, this week's not the week to launch a PS5 reveal event. But
well, they also could have just spun it any other way and said like, we think, we believe now is the best time for video, like, yeah, it's so weird one to kind of get around.
And yeah, I mean, and this is not to bash PlayStation at all, but undoubtedly someone was like, hey, this is a bad look, right? We should probably punt this. But to a degree, it is still hitting their pocketbook. And so you have to,
it is. Respect that. And like their specific statement for me kind of brought it back a little bit, of them being like, hey, we want to take a step back and let the voices that matter shine. Whatever like the intent was behind the push, as far as like them as a company and them probably just not wanting to announce shit this week, them having that statement at the end of it tunes in the whole PlayStation audience that sees that and goes, there's a bigger thing going on. And it seems like they're doing a thing in order to like help us focus in on what is going on.
And they're matching donations.
At least they're not tone deaf, right? They're not just being like, oh, okay, here's our new console. It's like, okay, we get it. This ain't the biggest shit right now that people need to deal with. Well, let's take a step back. Sorry, Tim, I cut you off.
No, I'm just saying, and PlayStation's matching donations. It's like, awesome. It isn't just words. It's like, you know, it's like all this stuff, it would affect their pocketbook one way or another. This goes back to what I'm saying. It's like PlayStation needs to look at all this and not worry about the people that are criticizing them. They need to just keep listening to feedback and no making the right, exactly, make the right decisions. Just keep going.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's a frustrating time to be alive. The biggest takeaway, obviously, I think, and there's a lot of takeaways. Donate if you can. Black Lives Matter, etc. Mainly vote. Register to vote. I think that's like we're talking about local elections for your sheriff. Obviously, this national election coming up, if you're in America, for November. You know, I went and with all this anger, not knowing what to do with any of it, I went and bought. I mean, I donated to different organizations as well, but I went and bought Joe Biden shirts. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, it's time to get on fucking board. Like, I got to do what I can. You know what I mean? We all got to do what we can to change this. Because it's just
fun, I don't. Right? I know I'm sounding like a broken record. I don't even care. Don't get distracted. There's going to be so many distractions out there, and there's so many fights that need to be fought. Don't fight ones that are going to tire you out.
I agree with that 100%.
Be better to each other.
Trump.
Also true.
I agree. Also, 1000%. Fuck your target. if I can't get rights, fuck your target.
it's a trade-off, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit around with each other. If you want to be a part of that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can be part of the show, get it ad-free, and get the exclusive post-show we're about to record. You can also head over to youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe each and every week to get it. Until next time, we got a post show to do, but it's been our pleasure to serve you.